This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This week, the series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. It's a real pleasure to have on today's program Mr. W.J. Simmons of Jackson, Mississippi. Bill Simmons is administrator of the Citizens Councils of America and editor of the movement's official monthly magazine, The Citizen. Bill, I know the Citizens Councils of America does not endorse candidates for political office, but certainly you must have some comment on the outcome of the presidential election.
Yes, right on both counts, Dick. The Citizens Council of America does not endorse candidates for political office, and I do have some opinion on the outcome of the election. I think there are several lessons to be drawn from it, which I hope we can get into in more detail later on in this little session we're having here. First of all, I think it is evident that there is a white backlash existing in America today. I think some of the results have been obscured by much that has been said on in the national news media about the election, particularly because of the size of the electoral vote gained by President Lyndon Johnson. One thing that I think we must bear in mind is that the so-called drawing of issues or giving the people a choice was not really clear-cut. There were many things, I think, that obscured this. In the second place, the vote for Senator Goldwater in this election was much larger than I think people at first thought. For example, if this is regarded as a choice and a new venture in modern American politics, the conservative side did not do too badly. By comparison, the Republican Party in its first venture in national politics, when General Fremont ran back before the Civil War, it did not do nearly as well as it did this time, and yet on the second outing, they did elect a president. That was Abraham Lincoln.
Bill, some conservatives are inclined to look on this 1964 election as a tragedy, or at best as a major disaster. Do you believe that this is actually the case?
Well, I think it was a defeat, certainly. As for its being a major disaster, no. Political elections come and they go. And I by no means share the alarmist view of some who think that this is the last election we may ever have in this country. No, I don't think so at all. Another thing I think we should bear in mind is that public moods change. They do not change necessarily overnight, or perhaps seldom overnight, but they do change. If there is any lesson to be drawn from history, it's this, that people almost never stay on the same general trend in mass. And I think there are things that can happen and things that will happen in the next 4 years that could very well bring about a completely different situation in 1968.
Bill, getting back to some specific details of the results of the 1964 election, Senator Goldwater apparently carried six states, his home state of Arizona, plus a solid strip of states through the Deep South, stretching from South Carolina through Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana. One of these states, Georgia, had never voted for other than the Democratic presidential candidate before, and in the others, seldom, if ever, had they supported a Republican presidential nominee. In total electoral votes, President Johnson received 486 and Senator Goldwater 52. Now, do you see any significance in the fact that the large bulk of Senator Goldwater's support in the electoral vote column came from the Deep South? Is some sort of a shift taking place?
Yes, Dick, I think definitely a shift is taking place or has taken place. I think this indicates a growing discrimination on the part of voters in the South, in that they voted for the candidate who best represented their views rather than for party labels. I think this is something that will have to be taken into account in the future and among politicians.
It might be interesting to point out at this stage, for those who think that this is such an unprecedented setback, Governor Dewey of New York in 1944 received only 99 electoral votes and lost to President Roosevelt by a landslide, and yet Mr. Dewey was nominated again in 1948.
Yes, and as I recall, in 1948, the polls forecast an overwhelming victory for Dewey.
Then in 1952, the Democratic nominee, Governor Adlai Stevenson of Illinois, carried only the five deep South states, which went for Senator Goldwater this time. I think that's somewhat of a curiosity in itself. In 1952, Stevenson carried South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana, plus the border states and southern states of Arkansas, Kentucky, North Carolina, and West Virginia. In the 1952 election, President Eisenhower received 442 electoral votes, Stevenson 89. Yet Stevenson got the nomination again in 1956. His support dropped in the 1956 election. He won only in southern and border states, again, receiving the electoral votes of Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Mississippi, Missouri, North and South Carolina, for a total of 74 electoral votes to 457 for President Eisenhower. These Deep South states, Bill, seem to show a consistent pattern of support for the Democratic nominees in years past, even when the rest of the country went Republican in a big landslide. Now, why this change?
I think the change is because in this election, the Republican candidate more nearly approached the views of the people in the South, Dick. I think that's the reason. There is another lesson, I think, to be drawn from these very interesting examples you've cited, and that is that there's hardly such a thing as permanent repudiation of a major candidate at the polls. Certainly this was not the case with Dewey and Stevenson.
Some of the commentators have made much over the fact that the states which went for Senator Goldwater in the 1964 election, four out of those five southern states, Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, and South Carolina, cast their electoral votes for the States' Rights Party headed by Strom Thurmond back in the 1948 presidential campaign. Is the shift of votes to the Goldwater column this year a continuation of the states' rights sentiment in the South?
It would seem so. It really would, and this is enhanced by the fact that Senator Thurmond himself actually crossed party lines and gave his full and unqualified support to Senator Goldwater.
Bill, I'd like to touch on one subject very briefly because it's something that's attracted a great deal of comment in recent weeks. The role that the polls have played in recent elections, most particularly in this one just concluded. I know a lot of people are inclined to cuss the polls when it doesn't show their man out in front, but haven't the polls been remarkably accurate?
They have, astonishingly accurate, and I think we all should admit this very freely. They've done an incredible job of being accurate in this election. I think it arises from their careful selection of key indicator precincts. There has been some very good basic analysis done in this respect by the pollsters. I do think, however, that there is a legitimate complaint about the manner in which some of the polls have been used, and more particularly, the manner in which some television so-called analysts forecast the results shortly after the polls closed in some areas and while they were still open in others.
In other words, you have no quarrel with the polling techniques and the raw data produced by the polls. It's the manner in which you feel some of it has been misused by the analysts and commentators.
That's correct. I think there's no quarrel whatsoever with the factual accuracy of their projections. In fact, they're to be complimented in this respect. But I think their judgment in the manner in which they use these is open to question.
Bill, some commentators have been saying that this election proves that the white backlash is non-existent. At the beginning of the program, you said exactly the opposite. It proves its existence. Would you mind explaining your point?
Yes, I'll be glad to. It was proved to anyone who watched some of the major appearances on television during the campaign in the different racial compositions of the crowds listening to the two candidates. Furthermore, specifically, it was proved in California, where Proposition 14 to provide for freedom of choice in selling one's house, that is, he's not compelled to sell to a Negro because he is a Negro, as was formerly the case, the proposition won by an overwhelming majority while Senator Goldwater was losing California by approximately a reverse majority.
In other words, as Proposition 14 carried by better than 60% of the votes cast, and yet President Johnson got about 60% of the votes cast in California.
That's right. Now, Proposition 14 was a clear-cut racial issue, uncluttered by any so-called conservative issues or, for that matter, devoid of any personalities. And in that case, I think anyone would be less than honest if he maintained that there was not this white backlash.
Bill, very quickly, what do you see as being the impact of this election on future political trends in the United States?
I think, Dick, at the outset of the current Johnson administration, there will be a very definite veering to the left toward a more and more centralization of power in Washington. I think this will increase reaction against these programs as the impact becomes clearer. I think some of the Negro groups will take this as a virtual license to demand the moon, the sun, the stars, and everything in the universe. And I think this will increase the white backlash so that by the time the next presidential election rolls around, I think we'll have an even more interesting time and a more clear-cut division of issues.
Bill, thank you very much for being with us today. Our guest on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum has been W.J. Simmons, administrator of the Citizens Councils of America and editor of the movement's official magazine, The Citizen. Join us again next week at the same time when we'll be back with another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, assisted by a grant from the Mississippi State Sovereignty Commission, an official agency of the state of Mississippi. Join us next week for another informative discussion and remind your friends to tune in. It's time to take a stand. By working together, we can and will safeguard our freedom.